going to begin our Warren County Radio Bible School with another Bible question. And this one you might know. You may be familiar with the Bible enough to guess the answer to this question. We're going to be talking about Mary, who is the sister of Martha, in just a moment. And she had anointed the Lord with ointment and then wiped his feet. Now the question is, with what did she use to wipe the feet of Jesus? Okay, we'll bring that question up in just a moment and answer it from a reading from the Bible. John chapter 11 is where we'll be reading. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to the question? There's two or three stories in the Bible about this, and it may not be the same woman. There's more than one woman that had wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. And that is really the answer. I gave away the answer, didn't I? Let me just read it to you. John 11, verses 1 through 3. The question is, with what did Mary wipe the feet of Jesus? It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, of the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, him whom thou lovest is sick." Let me read to you from Elam's notes. Now these are the notes that E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of February the 21st, 1926. And this is his introduction, "The Family at Bethany." In order to appreciate the lesson, we must know the family of Lazarus. Martha, Mary, and Lazarus constituted this happy family of Bethany. It is not certain that Martha was the oldest of the three, but that is indicated by the order of their names found in John 11:5 and verse 19. And the reference, Luke 10, 38 through 42, references Martha and her work. Mary's name is mentioned first, it seems, because the anointing referred to had made her more prominent. Martha appears to have been head of the household. She was energetic and active and was cumbered about much serving. Mary was more retiring and reflective. To Martha, Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. For Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Luke 10, 41 and 42. Owning their home, the costliness of the ointment used in anointing Jesus, the guest at the funeral, and the family burying places, these indicate that this family was in good financial circumstances, and Jesus was accustomed to visiting this family. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick. And these sisters sent to Jesus while he was at Betharaba, or Bethany beyond Jordan, about 30 miles away, saying, "Lord, behold, him who thou lovest is sick." There is in this an implied request for assistance in the statement of both Martha and Mary. "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died." John 11, 21 and 32. Shows that they believed Jesus could have healed the fatal sickness of Lazarus. In their distress, these sisters turned to Jesus because they knew of his sympathy and willingness and ability to help. Now, we should carry everything to God in prayer, but not without the means, for means are gifts of God. Well, Lazarus dies. I'm going to read John 11, verses 4 through 16. But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When therefore he had heard that he was sick, he abode at that time 2 days in the place where he was. Then after this he said to his disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." The disciples saying to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone thee, and goest thou thither again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because the light is not in him." These things spake he. And after this he said unto them, "Our friend Lazarus is fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." The disciples therefore said unto him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he spake of taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus therefore said unto them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Jesus said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified thereby." That is, the final result of this sickness was not death. Jesus would raise Lazarus from the dead, and thereby lead many to believe in himself as the Messiah, and thus glorify God and himself. Lazarus soon died. We know not just when, and according to the custom of that warm climate, was buried probably on the day of his death. After hearing of Lazarus' sickness, Jesus remained where he was 2 days for reasons not given. That Lazarus had been dead 4 days was no hindrance to divine power, but the longer he had been dead when Jesus raised him, the greater seemed the miracle to the men. The apostles were opposed to Jesus returning to Judea for the reasons given. To them Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." The Bible frequently speaks of death as sleep. Jesus knew by his divine power that Lazarus was dead, and he is the resurrection and the life. Let me read to you verses 17 through 31. John 11:17. "So when Jesus came, he found that he had been in the tomb 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. Martha, therefore, when she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary still sat in the house. Martha therefore said unto Jesus, 'Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. And even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give thee.' Jesus said to her, 'Thy brother shall rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this?' She said unto him, 'Yea, Lord, I have believed that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh into the world.' And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, 'The teacher is here and calleth for thee.' And she, when she heard it, arose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, who were with her in the house, and were consoling her when they saw Mary, that she rose up quickly and went out, followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there." When Jesus reached Bethany, He found that Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days already. On learning of Jesus' approach, Mary went out to meet him and said, as stated above, that if Jesus had been there, Lazarus had not died. And with yet some hope added, "And even now I know that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee." To prepare her for what he was about to do, Jesus said, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha replied that she knew he would rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Leaning on and development of faith, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he die physically, yet shall he live," that is, be raised to live eternally. "And whosoever liveth physically and believeth on me shall never die eternally." Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. He has the keys of death and Hades, Revelation 1 and verse 18. Martha then confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, even he that cometh into the world, and confessing this, acknowledged that he possessed the power to raise the dead. Yet from verse 39 it appears she did not see clearly how at that time he could restore Lazarus to life. Martha returned to the house and secretly informed Mary that Jesus had come and called her. As Mary arose quickly to go to Jesus, the Jews who were there to console her thought she'd gone to the tomb to wail there. It was the custom of female relatives, daughters, sisters, and wives to weep at the grave of loved one, at times for months, and there they were joined by their friends. Well, we're going to read that Jesus wept. I want to begin in verse 32, and I'll read through verse 38. Mary, therefore, when she came to where Jesus was and saw him, fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died." When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping who came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, "Where have you laid him?" They say unto him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. It was custom of female relatives to weep. I had read that. Let me go to the explanatory notes beginning in verse John 11:32. Coming to Jesus, Mary fell down at his feet and repeated the words of Martha. This shows again the difference between the sisters. Martha did not fall at Jesus' feet. These sisters had doubtless expressed themselves thus to each other. Doubtless the presence of the obtruding Jews prevented further conversation between Jesus and Mary. It says that Jesus groaned in the spirit. The word translated groaned occurs 5 times in the New Testament. In all cases it expresses not sorrow, but indignation and severity. It means to charge sternly, and it's rendered murmured in Mark chapter 14 in verse 5. The marginal reading at verse 33 and 38 says, Jesus was moved with indignation. His indignation must have been aroused over the hypocritical lamentation of the Jews, his enemies, weeping in empty form. And it says he was troubled. He was moved with emotion. Without stopping to console Mary, he asked where Lazarus had been buried. Mary and Martha answered, "Lord, come and see." And so we read Jesus wept. He either shed tears or wept silently. The word wept in verse 35 is different from the weeping of verses 31 and 33. There they mean to wail, but Jesus wept in sympathy with Mary and Martha, in sympathy with humanity. Jesus attended the wedding of Cana and wept on his way to the tomb of Lazarus. It is neither wrong nor a sign of weakness to weep. Rejoice with them that rejoice, and weep with them that weep, we read in Romans 12 and verse 15. We also read that Jesus had wept over Jerusalem.